Montana returned a few days later with the supplies and 5 new men.
Well, this is all I could round up on short notice, boss. But they're good boys. They'll stick it out to the end. So here's Roy Drum, Mac Saxton, Ray Harvey, Tony Addison, and this here's Don Langston. If he can see it, he can hit it with a rifle.
Von Hausen was impatient. Smoke had had days to hide its trail. There'd been no sign of him, so all concluded he had pulled out. He voiced that shared opinion with Montana and the new men.
Now don't fret, none. Roy's the best tracker in this part of the country. We'll find Smoke. Roy's got a personal reason to find him.
Oh?
Killed my uncle about 10 years ago over in Utah. I hate Smoke Jensen.
What did your uncle do to provoke Jensen?
That don't take no never mind, Kraut. Jensen killed him, and I'm gonna spit on Smoke Jensen's body. That's all that matters.
Get packed up. They'll pull out at first light.
The trail was cold, but Roy knew his business. He found Smoke's trail and stayed on it. When Smoke crossed Cold Creek and turned more east than north, Roy scratched his head.
This don't make no sense. I think he's leading us on a fool's chase.
What do you mean?
He's just killing time. Just wandering to wear us out. If I was going to make me a stand up here, I'd do it in the canyon country. I think if we head up north, we'll pick up his trail after he crosses Lamar. He'll be heading west over the plateau. Bet on it.
We'd save how many days if you're correct?
Week. Maybe more than that.
Lead the way, Roy.
Smoke really didn't know if his aimless wanderings were going to fool those behind him for very long. It really didn't make much difference, though. The situation had to be settled sooner or later anyhow. He had made an early camp after killing a deer. He had skinned it out and was roasting a steak when he heard a rider coming. He reached for his rifle.
Hello, the camp! We're government surveyors!
Come on in. I've got food if you've got coffee.
That we have, sir. My, but that venison does smell good.
There were 4 of them, all dressed like Eastern dudes on an outing. But they were friendly and not heavily armed. Smoke pointed to the meat on the spit.
Help yourselves. I've got plenty more to cook when that's gone.
Say, this is very kind of you. I thought we had provisioned ourselves adequately, but I'm afraid we stayed out a bit longer than we should have. By the way, I'm Charles Knudsen. This is Harold Bailey, Morris Robertson, and Parry Willard.
Pleased.
The men fell to eating, and with a smile, Smoke cut another hefty chunk of the hanging deer and fitted it on a fresh spit.
Haven't eaten since last evening, and would you believe that we haven't even seen so much as a rabbit this day?
I can believe it. I've been there a time or two myself.
Sightseeing, sir?
In a manner of speaking.
Unusual arrangement of pistols, sir. I don't think I've ever seen a rig quite like yours.
Not too many of them around. I like it for a cross-draw. You boys aren't from the West, are you?
Why, no. As a matter of fact, we're not. What gave us away?
Nothing in particular, I just guessed. Not that it's any of my business, but what direction did you men come in from?
From the north. We've been working up near Tower Falls. Why would it not be any of your business? It was a perfectly harmless thing to ask.
Out here, boys, it's sometimes not healthy to ask too many questions about a man's back trail.
I see. The person to whom the question is directed might be a road agent.
Something like that. My name's Jensen. People call me Smoke.
The young men stopped eating as if on command. They just flat out froze. Smoke went right on eating his supper and sipping his coffee. Finally, he lifted his eyes and looked at him.
Eat, boys. Your supper's getting cold. I don't bite, boys. I've never shot a man who wasn't trying to do me harm. So relax.
I thought you would be a much older man. We've all read books about you, and we saw the play about you in New York City, our senior year in college. Did you really ride with Jesse James?
Nope. I only met the man one time. I was just a boy during the war when Jesse and his bunch stopped by the farm, and I gave them a poke of food. He gave me a pistol. A Navy 36 it was, and an extra cylinder. That's the only time I ever saw him.
You've killed,
A lot of men, yes, I have. First white man I killed was down in Rico. just west of the Needle Mountains, back in 69 or 70. Me and a mountain man named Preacher was riding over to Pagosa Springs to find men who killed my father, a man by the name of Pike, and a buddy of his. I never knew his name. Braced me in a trading post. They were a little slow on the draw.
You killed both of them?
Yeah.
And since then?
Long, bloody years. I changed my name for several years. Married, had children. But trouble came my way and I faced it. I'm Smoke Jensen. And if people don't like that, they can go to hell.
Mind another question, sir?
Go right ahead.
We heard that you were a successful rancher over in Colorado.
That's correct. My wife and I own a spread called the Sugarloaf.
Yet, here you are in the middle of the wilderness. The first national park in America. There are no cattle here, Mr. Jensen.
No, but there's plenty of cover here. And no people to get hurt when the lead starts flying. I got about 25 or 30 hard cases on my back trail, led by a crazy European baron named Frederick von Hausen. They plan on killing me. For sport.
All four young men just stared at Smoke, disbelief in their eyes.
They plan on killing you, sir?
Yeah, it's a sporting event according to them. Track me down, corner me, kill me. And then go home and boast about it, I suppose.
Have they found... Well, it's quite obvious they haven't found you. You're still alive.
No, they've found me a couple of times. I killed three or four of them, beat the crap out of one, and nicked two or three more. I blew up their camp last week. I suspect von Hausen has sent for more men. He seems to be a very determined man.
You killed three or four, sir?
Yeah. I could have killed them all when I engined into their camp one night and laid down a warning to one of the women in the bunch. But I didn't.
They have ladies with them?
I don't think they're ladies. They'd be stretching the point some. But they're definitely female.
And this bunch of hooligans, they are here in the park?
Oh, yeah. I blew their camp up down on the monument, then hauled my ashes after I watched several men head out to resupply. Probably at that trading post up on the Shoshone, but they're coming after me. So you boys dress easy here tonight, and I'll fill you full of deer meat for breakfast. And then you best be on your way, before the lead starts flying.
But we can't have anything like that going on here. Good heavens, sir. This is a national park. We have many visitors every year. Many come just to see Old Faithful erupt.
Old what?
Old Faithful. It's a geyser just north of Shoshone Basin. It was named by the Washburn-Langford-Doane expedition back in 10 because it spouts so faithfully.
Valley of the Roaring Clouds. That's what Preacher said the Indians called it. Sure, I know what you're talking about. That thing still go off regular?
Certainly does, every 65 to 70 minutes.
Do tell. That's interesting. A man could get badly burned if he got caught out in that stuff now, wouldn't he?
Oh, yes, sir, badly burned. That is extremely hot water coming out of the earth.
Might work.
I beg your pardon?
Nothing of importance. You boys getting enough to eat?
Oh, plenty, sir. Mr. Jensen, I must report this deadly game to the superintendent. You understand my position?
Sure. Go right ahead. I imagine it'll take you boys 3 or 4 days to get to him after you've resupplied at your base camp there. Then 3 to 4 more days to get back here. But I'll be long gone by that time. Then what will you do?
The important thing, I believe, Mr. Jensen, is what will you do?
Survive.
There they are.
Roy pointed to the now familiar tracks of Smoke's horses.
He's heading for the canyons.
Will there be many people there? Sightseers?
Doubtful. It's too early in the season. Besides, this place is about 3,000 square miles. Takes a lot of gawkers to fill that up. We'll find a place to corner and kill him.
Roy left the reins and moved out. Walt and Angel, once again, rode at the back of the group.
How long will Smoke keep this up, you wonder?
Yeah, he's kept it up longer than I thought he would. I reckon he's hoping they'll give it up and go on back home. When he does decide to make his stand, Angel, it's gonna be a terrible sight to behold.
That rattlesnake business told me that. I do not ever wish to see another sight like that.
Well, I expect Jensen's got tricks up his sleeves that'll equal it.
What in God's name could be worse than that?
Yeah, Jensen'll think of something. Bet your boots on it. He ain't even got mad yet.
I have a brother in Chihuahua. He is a lawyer. I think I will visit him when all this is over.
Least you'll be able to visit, son. That's more than them 30-odd fools up ahead of us will be able to do. And them three getting stiff in the ground behind us.
Smoke found the canyon area along the Yellowstone River completely void of human life, and he had never seen a more perfect place for an ambush. He carefully scouted out the area where he'd chosen to raise some hell, locating a retreat route that wound down to the river, and selected a place in the narrow pass to plant dynamite. He'd light the fuse on his way out and block the pass, forcing those behind him to detour miles before being able to ford the river. By that time, he'd have chosen another place of ambush and be lying in deadly wait. Two riders appeared. Smoke lifted his field glasses and adjusted them for distance. He recognized one rider by his shirt and the horse. He did not think he'd ever seen the second man before, so that meant Von Hausen had recruited more manhunters. Smoke wondered where in the hell he'd found them up here and how many he'd hired.
Come on, let's get this going.
Smoke was facing east and the sun was bright. He didn't want to risk any reflection from the lens of the field glasses, so he cased them and settled back, rifle in hand, and waited. The point men rode closer. He saw one of them point to the ground, spotting Smoke's tracks.
Come on, men! He's close!
Yeah, you do that.
The point men passed the first landmark Smoke had fixed in his mind. Smoke lifted the rifle and jacked back the hammer on the .44-40, sighting one of the riders in. The second shot went high and blew the second man's hat off. The wind caught the hat and sent it sailing. Smoke waited.
Cosgrove's had it. Jensen shot him right through the heart.
Before anyone could stop him, Ford had spurred his horse and was racing up the trail. He shucked his rifle out of the boot just as he passed his ex-partner in crime, stone dead on the rocks beside the trail. The bullet caught Ford in the center of his chest, and Ford joined his buddy on the trail. He hit the ground and did not move. His horse kept right on going. Von Hausen studied Smoke's position through binoculars, studying every angle carefully.
Scheißfest!
Finally, he cased his field glasses and returned to where his group had gathered.
Whatever else a man may be, he knows tactics. He could hold off any army from his position. It would take several days to get one end or the other of this canyon, then find a way through and work our way behind him. If we split our people and try to trap him in there, he'd know it because of the damn flats on both sides of us and the high ground to our rear. To charge him would be suicide. It's a standoff. Where's Langston?
Trying to work his way to get a shot at Jensen.
Von Hausen had decided several days back that the sporting aspects of this hunt could go to hell. Just kill Jensen, he told his people.
Where is he leading us? Or is he leading us anywhere? The man doesn't think like anyone I've ever knew. He's unpredictable. In every war, there are plans, tried and true, that are followed by both sides. This man is a savage. I can't work out what he is going to do from one day to the next.
Well, do we make camp here? I gotta know so I can start cooking.
Von Hausen ran to the rocks, the others right behind him. Don Langston lay sprawled on his back below him, his fancy inlaid rifle shining in the sunlight on the rock some 20 feet from the body. Langston had been shot right between the eyes.
I'd say he got a mite too close. I'll go put the beans on.
Hey, Baron, how about you and me settling this?
What do you mean, Jensen?
Just what I said. You and me, pretty boy. Stand up, bare-knuckle fight. Best man wins.
Marquis of Queensberry rules?
Any way you want it, Baron. We'll hold it in Denver.
Denver?
That's right. Denver. In front of a crowd at a ring. I'm not going to take a chance out here, one of your rabid skunks. Shoot me after I beat your face in.
Oh, I could take him in a ring. It might be fun.
How about it?
I think not, Jensen. You can't run forever.
Hell, I'm not running now, Von Horseface. Why don't you come on across and get me?
You, sir, are no gentleman. You are a foul, stupid man, Jensen.
But I'm a better man than you, Von Hausnose. I don't need an army to do my fighting.
You fill that area with lead! Ha-ha! How
about that, Jensen? You don't suppose we got him with a ricochet?
Now, we wouldn't get that lucky. He's just playing possum, hoping one of us will go over there to check it out.
Hold your positions. We've already lost three this day.
Four died because he was stupid. You can't lose control when fighting a man like Jensen. Ford better be a lesson to us all.
Agreed.
The group waited, all bunched up, for almost an hour.
Now what?
Shit! I bet you he blew the pass. And I bet you it's the only pass from miles north to south. The time we work around there, it's gonna be another cold goddamn trail.
I'll find it. I told you all! I aim to kill that man.
Collect the bodies. Get your Bible, Walt.
After crossing the Yellowstone, Smoke headed north into the Washburn Range. He knew he had bought himself a day, hell, maybe a day and a half, but no more than that. He was out of supplies, except for a little coffee, and he was living off the land, just as he and Preacher had done during those early years. But Smoke, like most Western men, was a coffee-drinking man, and he wasn't going to be out of coffee for very long. He could live off of fish and rabbits and berries, but damned if he was going to be denied coffee. On the second day after fording the Yellowstone, he spotted a thin plume of smoke in the distance and headed for it. He rode up to the camp, stopping a respectable distance from it, and eyeballed those in the camp who were by now eyeballing him. The three men and three women were dressed in some sort of safari clothes. Anyway, Smoke thought that was the right description for it. The women dressed just like the men in breeches and high-top lace-up boots. He'd never seen hats like they were wearing. Looked like a gourd hollowed out. Funniest looking damn things he'd ever seen.
Hello, the camp. I'll approach with your permission.
Why, of course. Come right in, sir.
Smoke rode in and dismounted. He loosened the cinch strap on the horses and picketed them on Gray's. They were scientists, Smoke was told. Gilbert, Carol, Robert, Paula, Thomas, and Blanche. Anthropologists and some other kind of names that sounded to Smoke like they were clearing their throats. He didn't have the foggiest idea what they were talking about. The three women and two men quickly took leave. Smoke could tell his presence made him uncomfortable. Gilbert remained around the small fire. He smiled at Smoke.
Share our lunch with us?
I'd be obliged. Ran out of supplies several days ago.
Something popped in the timber, and suddenly Smoke was on his feet from his kneeling by the fire, and he had a gun in his hand.
One of our mules.
Smoke nodded and walked to the edge of the small clearing. He could see mules and horses picketed.
Pull them in closer. You got your picket line too far away from your camp. There are folks around here who'd steal from you. The West is tamed somewhat, but not that much. Move it right over there. You see anybody trying to steal your livestock, shoot them.
Shoot them?
Yeah. You do have weapons, don't you?
We have a rifle and a shotgun, and Robert has a sidearm.
That's good. Keep them close by.
Smoke walked to his pack horse and returned with two gun belts he'd taken from bounty hunters and Von Hausen's party.
Here, I'm getting loaded down with weapons. I'll give you folks a .44 carbine, too.
Oh, this is very generous of you, sir. Please, let us pay you for the fine weapons. We're here on a government grant.
People I took them from don't need them anymore.
You're a lawman.
No. Those guns belong to some old boys who were chasing me. They caught up with me. I'm not an outlaw, if that's what you're thinking. I'm a rancher from down in Colorado. My wife is the former Sally Reynolds of New Hampshire.
How marvelous! The banking family! His very old and respected name. Then you must be... It was in all the newspapers. Some thought it was so scandalous for her to marry a... Oh, my God!
Yeah, I'm Smoke Jensen.
But I read in the newspapers before we left that Sally was home visiting friends and family. Her parents are still in Europe, are they not?
With our children. Look here. What do you call those hats y'all are wearing?
It's pith.
I beg your pardon?
Pith helmets. They're quite the rage for any type of expedition into the wilderness.
If you say so.
These guns you just gave us, the men chasing you gave them up voluntarily?
They did after I shot them.
Were they severely wounded?
About as severe as you can get. They sure weren't in any condition to complain about it.
You turned the thugs over to the law?
No, their buddies buried them.
You... killed them?
Sure did.
Then Smoke explained in detail about those chasing him. While he was explaining, he spotted the coffee can and took it upon himself to make a fresh pot. Stuff that was drinkable. Cowboy coffee.
I just can't seem to convince that crazy German to leave me alone. He's about to make me mad.
How many men do you have chasing you?
Oh, I don't know. 25 or 30, I suppose. I killed 3 more the other day over at the Yellowstone. They just keep coming at me, and I just keep whittling them down. I'm going to have to make a stand of it somewhere, I reckon. But I don't want to see any innocent people get hurt.
Well, I don't think there's anyone else in the park this time of year. We did see a couple of men a few weeks ago. Government surveyors.
Yeah, I ran into them. Nice bunch of boys. They said they were going to tell the superintendent about the men after me. But by the time he gets word out and the Army or U.S. Marshals get in, this fracas will be over.
You're, very well cavalier about this matter, Mr. Jensen.
No point in getting all worked up about it. I'll just handle it my way.
But there are 30 gunmen chasing you.
More or less. And I assure you, it'll be less in a day or two. I've faced 18 men in the streets of a town called Uncompahgre some years back. I was just out of my teens. I left all 18 belly down in the dirt.
18? You killed 18 men by yourself?
Sure did. They got lead in me, I won't deny that. Almost killed me. But I was still standing when the dust cleared. Sort of. I was on my knees in the street. But I was still alive.
Where was the law?
Smoke patted the Colt holstered on his hip.
Right here. The law is good for handling lost horses and finding runaway kids and the like. It's good to see the law walking down the street and tipping their hats to ladies. Makes everybody feel good. All secure and such as that. But there are some things that a man has to handle personal. If he's been pushed to the end of the line and can't get any relief, and if he's capable and has the wherewithal, I'm capable, and I damn sure have the wherewithal.
Then you are a follower of Kropotkin?
Who?
He's a Russian anarchist, a revolutionary.
No, sir. I'm just a man who believes in handling his own horse and stomping his own snakes. I'm all for law and order. I set out from my ranch just to buy some bulls from a friend of mine in central Wyoming. That's all. Just a simple legal business transaction between two men. Suddenly, I find myself being tracked and hunted by a gang of nuts. Then I learned that they have a plan on using me like some poor animal, cornered and killed for sport. I went to the Army with it. I was told that they couldn't do anything about it. Well, fine, but I sure can do something about it. I can kill every no-count scummy bastard that's coming up the trail after me. And that is exactly what I intend to do.
Smoke headed north toward one of the strangest sights he had ever seen in all his life, the dead forest. He didn't make any effort to hide his tracks. The government, or somebody, had cut a nature trail through the park and he stayed on it. It was easier on his horses and on him. He crossed Tower Creek and followed the trail as it curved westward. Near as he could remember, the 25 or 30 square miles of stone trees were only a few miles further, most on a ridge. The scientists in the pith helmets back yonder had told Smoke that the stone trees were millions of years old, buried alive by volcanic ash. Since Smoke had never seen a volcano, and really didn't want to see one, not up close anyway, he really didn't have any opinion on it one way or the other. He pulled up short this time just as he had the other times he'd looked upon the strangeness of the stone forest. It was eerie and very quiet. Many of the trees here had not fallen, but stood like silent sentinels over their fallen comrades. Smoke didn't enter the dead forest at this point. He rode on, staying with the trail for several miles. When he did decide to enter the stone forest, he made his trail clear for a time. Then he tied sackings around his horse's hooves and led him out of the stone forest to a small cul-de-sac with graze and water. He blocked the entrance with brush and logs and then slipped back into the stillness of the stone forest, taking with him only what supplies he could comfortably carry in a small pack on his back. He hiked back to Specimen Ridge and chose his site carefully, one that gave him a commanding view of all that lay in front of him. Since he had ridden up, no small feat for his horses, Von Hausen and party would be coming up the same trail, he hoped. Smoke would be shooting downhill, so that would be tricky, but nothing that he couldn't overcome with the good sights on a 44-40. Now all he had to do was wait and hope that Von Hausen and company took the bait. Roy Drum halted the parade in the valley that Smoke overlooked from his spot on the small mountain that held the stone trees.
What's the matter?
I don't like it. Jensen went right up that big ridge yonder with them dead stone trees. It's like he wanted us to see his tracks.
Hell, man, he ain't tried to hide his tracks in 100 miles.
Well, that's a fact.
Von Hausen began scanning the ridge with his long lenses. After several minutes of searching, he cased the binoculars, hung them on a saddle horn, and picked up the reins.
Let's go! The ridge is void of life!
Garrett, take the point. Might be a good idea if we walked our horses up. It's a steep climb. Wouldn't want to have a horse break its leg right now.
You're right.
Suddenly, Gary went down in a spray of blood and gore.
God damn it! I knowed it was a trap!
Al Hare exposed his shoulder from behind the stone he was hiding.
Ah, my shoulder, shit!
Pride made the mistake of trying to take a shot at Smoke. He got out from behind his cover.
A couple of you men work your way around to the timber in that direction. Two more to that side. Try to box him in.
Marty Boswell's daddy had always told him he had sawdust for brains. Marty got tired of listening to his daddy and shot him dead one day back in Nebraska. Smoke proved Marty's daddy wrong when Marty stuck his ugly face out from behind a large rock for a look-see. He had some brains. Now they were splattered on a rock. The men stayed hunkered down in their hiding places for a good solid 20 minutes. When no more shots came, the men got to their feet and went to examine the spot where they believed the shots to have come from.
Marty?
Dead. Jensen put one right in the center of his forehead.
That's 3 dead and 1 wounded. I don't know how badly wounded Hale is.
He's out of it. Hit high and pretty hard. He wants his money and he wants to get gone from this fight.
Von Hausen nodded his head.
Oh, pay him off, Gunther. Wounded as he is, he'd be of no further use to us. He'd only be a hindrance. Have Walt and Angel tend to his wounds and then send him on his way.
Gunther was gone back down the steep hill.
He's gone! Headed west!
Von Hausen paced the distance between Smoke's last defensive position over to where Marty lay dead, a hole in his head. Von Hausen reluctantly admitted to himself that Smoke was one of the best marksmen he had ever seen.
What type of weapon is he using?
It's a 44-40. It's got an extra rear sight for better accuracy. That and Jensen's fucking good.
John, that's like saying trains run on tracks. I measured the distance. Smoke made this shot from 210 paces.
That's some shooting.
To say the least. Have the men dig some graves, John T.
Yes, sir. And have Walt fetch his Bible?
Yes. This is becoming a routine.
Smoke rode west. He put a few miles behind him, knowing that by the time Von Hausen and party rounded up their horses, buried their dead, and tended to the wounded, it'd be dark. There'd be no further pursuits this day. He stopped long enough to fix his supper and boil his coffee, then moved on another couple of miles before finding a good spot to spend the night. He was up and moving before dawn, pushing west. He was not all that familiar with this region. Years back, he and Preacher had cut north at the stone trees and headed up into Montana. Preacher had told him about the western part of this region, but Smoke had not personally seen it. He cut southwest, heading for the Gallatin Range. As he rode, he added up how many people, approximately, Von Hausen had left. As close as he could figure, he still had about 25 people after him, including the women, and he damn sure wasn't going to discount them. Smoke rode for several days, sometimes making an effort to conceal his tracks, but oftentimes not. He crossed Panther Creek, Injun Creek, and made camp at the north end of Grizzly Lake. Roaring Mountain was somewhere off to his east, he believed, as was Obsidian Cliff, an outcrop of black volcanic glass that was used by various Injun tribes over the centuries for arrow points. Hot ground, Preacher had told him, burn your dad burned feet. That afternoon, before the sun went down and Smoke could still see to write, he scoured the area until he found a large, flat rock. Using a smaller rock, he scratched out a message. Before he left the next morning, he carefully placed the rock in the center of the trail. There was no way Von Hausen could miss it if he came this way. Then he left the trail and headed on over towards Sulphatora Creek. He had another ambush to set up. The next morning, the group came upon the writing that Smoke had etched into the rock. John T. sat his saddle and read the words.
I have run out of patience. From this point on, there will be no coming back for any of you if you follow me. This is my final warning.
Von Hausen turned to the men.
Anybody want to quit?
No one did. They all had the big money in their eyes. It was easy to forget those men lying lonely in cold graves on the trail behind them when their pockets were jingling with gold coins and big money waiting at the end of the line. What they should have realized, but did not, was that only death awaited them at the end of this line.
How are the supplies holding out, Walt?
Well, if we can kill a deer every other day or so, we'll be all right, as far as eating goes. I expect if Jensen keeps thinning the herd out like he's been doing, we'll have plenty.
I really wish you would stop that kind of talk.
You want to fire me an angel? You say the word and we'll damn sure leave right now.
Settle down, old man. You're entitled to your opinion. Relieve Pat at the point, Briscoe.
Down! Quick!
Hans left the saddle as quick as a jackrabbit. The rest of the men did likewise. They all waited, crouched in the early summer foliage that grew thick and lush in the darkness of the timber.
Jensen! Jensen! Jensen, stand and fight like a man, damn you!
He wouldn't be fighting us with no shotgun. You remember we come up missing the shotgun that night he attacked the camp and figured it got burned up or blowed up? He must have taken it and rigged an ambush.
The group went out in the woods, and they quickly found that John T.'s prediction had been accurate. Smoke had secured the express gun in the fork of a tree about head high. Then he had cocked the triggers, pulled the cord taut that was attached to a cord from the triggers to a tripwire. The load of buckshot had hit Briscoe in the neck and face, completely blowing off his head. Walt strolled up to the gory scene.
Well, reckon we can scratch that one off the supper list, Angel.
Later that night, Hans sat with Gunter. The women were in their tents. Von Hausen was talking with John T. and Roy Drum.
Gunter, is going on worth it?
By now, every gambler from Monte Carlo to New York City knows of this hunt and is taking bets. If we left now, we would return home in disgrace. Yes, I've been giving it some thought, and we have to press on. As we discussed before, it is a matter of honor. Are you really having second thoughts?
Yes. My God, Gunter, how many dead men have we left behind us? 9? 10? Heaven forgive me, I can't even remember.
Well, let's just hope that God has a sense of humor, Hans.
He might. Smoke Jensen doesn't.
Smoke was waiting in the thick underbrush behind a fallen tree just off the bank of a fast-moving creek. He had angled down into the central plateau. Not too many large mountains in this part of the range, but plenty of hills and marshes and excellent ambush sites. Smoke was cold-minded now. He had issued his final warning. If Von Hausen chose to ignore it, that was too bad for them. Smoke intended to empty every saddle he saw that he knew an outlaw sat in, or a nutty European sportsman, so-called. It was almost a shame to do it. None of those following him seemed to have any imagination. They just stayed on his trail and pushed blindly ahead. Smoke picked his ambush spot several days apart, having observed through binoculars that those behind him would be cautious for a day or so when approaching a likely spot, but would become careless on the third or fourth day out. He just never seemed to learn. Smoke heard the sound of riders approaching from the west. He eared back the hammer on his .44-40, thinking, Bonhausen and the party damn sure made good time this trip. He wasn't expecting them until late that afternoon or the next day. He gently let the hammer down when he saw that this bunch was not Bonhausen's hunters. It was the army. Smoke lay behind the log in the brush and listened to the men gripe.
Top soldier, what are we going to do with this Bonhausen when we find him?
Order him from the park, McBride.
And Jensen?
He ain't done nothing. Now, when we spot Jensen, just stand easy, man. Don't make any sudden moves. Don't do nothing to rile him.
Smoke stood up.
Afternoon, troops.
The army patrol stopped in the creek. The top soldier forded on across and waved his men on. He reined up and dismounted.
Loosen them up and let them blow, men. Would you be Smoke Jensen?
I am.
I'm Sergeant Major Murphy. I got orders to say this, as silly as it sounds. Are you aware of a large group of men and some ladies following you with hostile intent?
I am quite aware of them, top soldier. I've emptied about 10 or so saddles over the past month or so. I was waiting for him here.
So I see. Well, the hunt is over, Mr. Jensen. You are now under the protection of the United States Army.
It's going to be interesting to hear what Bonhausen has to say about that, Top.
They will be escorted from the park in order to leave the country, Mr. Jensen. Those American citizens with them will be placed under arrest if you press charges.
They'll just lie for one another and nothing will be accomplished by me doing that, Top. And you know it.
That is probably very true, Mr. Jensen, but I was under orders to inform you of that.
I have been so informed. You men got here awful quick.
We were here. We're an advance party checking out likely places to build the park headquarters.
I killed a deer this morning, Top. It's strung up over there. Why don't you boys cut you a steak and we'll have an early supper?
Music to my ears, Mr. Jensen. Mighty pretty music.
Just smoke, Top Soldier. Just smoke.
While the steaks were sizzling, being cooked in what skillets the six-man patrol had and the rest on sticks held over a fire, McBride spoke to Smoke.
How long has this crazy damn game been going on, Smoke?
Too long. As close as I can figure it. You know how you lose time out there. About 2 months.
2 months? How come you let it go on so long, Mr. Jensen? I mean, with your reputation and all, why didn't you...
I didn't want to start killing. And I didn't want it to go on. But they just kept pressing me harder and harder. I finally knew that I had no choice in the matter. So, I did what I felt I had to do.
Nobody at all is blaming you, Smoke. Them people you run into all talk real nice about you. And you also got some powerful friends in government that jumped on this situation like a monkey to a banana.
Smoke nodded his head, but he just did not feel good with the situation. The six-man patrol could easily be shot to pieces by Bonhausen and his men. Murphy was a grizzled old veteran of countless engine wars and probably the Civil War, but the rest were just kids. Smoke put his worries into words.
You think they dare fire on the U.S. Army, Smoke?
Without hesitation, Top. Bonhausen has promised these men all sorts of big money. They're not going to let it go without a fight.
Johnny over there, the single striper, he's in his second hitch. He's a good one with more than enough battle experience. The rest, they ain't been tested under fire.
Yet.
Somehow I knew you were going to say that.
Montana Jess was riding point with the tracker, Roy Drum, when they reined up about 200 yards from the fast-moving creek. They'd both been smelling wood smoke for just about a mile now and were moving very cautiously. They dismounted and slipped through the timber to the west bank of the creek.
Oh, cavalry. And yonder Smoke's horses, you see them?
Yeah. I think we got us a problem, Montana. Let's get back to Bonhausen.
The men quickly returned to where the Baron and the other men had stopped.
It might be a problem. Does the U.S. Army have arrest powers?
They might in here, this being a national park and all.
How big a patrol is it?
Six.
What are you thinking, Leo?
Take him out. It sure would be no big deal. Engine up and blow him straight to hell.
Now, just wait a damn minute here. I ain't having no part of killing government troops.
Nor me. You boys better think about what you're about to do.
No, shut your traps! Who gives a damn about a bunch of soldier boys? I say we go for the money!
I'm with you. I ain't about to turn my back on more money than I can make in 5 years hassling homesteaders and the like.
The rest of the bounty hunters and gunslingers quickly fell in line with Leo and Lou. And that left Walt and Angel looking down the muzzles of a dozen guns.
You shoot us, you got no surprise left. because them shots will carry to the soldier boys. And Jensen...
ties them up and leaves them here. We'll dispose of them once we've killed the soldiers and hanged Jensen.
Yeah, I like that idea. Hang them slow. I want to see him die real slow and hard. We'll put his feet in the fire first. Make him scream.
There'll be none of that, Utah. We'll hang him properly after we try him for the murder of those men we buried along the trail.
Walt shook his head in disgust.
No, I like that. Real legal-like. I wish somebody had brought me some picture-taking machinery. I'd like to have me a picture of Smoke Jensen swinging.
Marlene smiled.
Oh, but we do have photographic equipment. The newest and the very best. And it's packed very carefully.
The women at long miles back discarded their riding costumes and side saddles. They were all dressed in riding breeches and rode astride, and all of them carried sidearms.
Ties them up, leaves them here, and pickets the horses. We'll move out on foot as soon as this camp is secured. Take your spurs off and anything else that might make a noise.
Walt and Angel were trussed up and dumped on the ground.
Move out! And when we reach the creek, I'll go up to the bank alone and give the patrol a shout. When they stand up, open fire! Knock a leg out from under Jensen. We want him alive. Remember that! Alive!
I am blessed with teeth that are very strong, Walt. If my brain was as strong as my teeth, I would not be in this situation, I am thinking. Let me scoot around and I will go to work on your bonds.
Well, I'm glad one of us still has his choppers. I lost mine years back.
Smoke had led his horses to a new graze about 250 yards from the camp. He picketed them behind a huge tangle of brushes and thorns. It wasn't done deliberately. That was where the best graze was. He was just walking back to the camp.
Baron Frederick von Hausen, by order of the United States of America, I order you to...
A stray bullet whanged off a rock and slammed into Smoke's leg. Smoke grabbed his leg at the wound to keep any blood from leaking to the ground and crawled into a thicket. Inside the tangle, he turned and with a leafy branch on the ground, brushed out any sign of his entry and rearranged the brush at the opening. It might work. They would see his horses gone and just might assume that he'd never been in the camp or had already departed. If they didn't search too diligently, if they were anxious to get gone after the killing ambush of army troops, if his horses didn't whinny and give away their position, that's a hell of a lot of ifs. Von Hausen pointed to the top soldier who was gut-shot and glaring at him.
Finish him.
Marlene coldly and with a strange expression of excitement on her face, pulled her sidearm.
Help me! Why, certainly.
Damn it! Jensen's gone! Both of his horses is gone! He must have pulled out just after we seen him this morning.
Yeah, that's right. Jensen's horse was saddled. I remember now.
We'll pick up his trail. He can't have gotten far. It's been no more than 2 hours. Scatter the supplies. The army lives on hard tack. Leave it. I have no taste for that horrible ration.
What about the bodies?
Leave them where they lie. The bears will have them eaten by this time tomorrow.
The horses?
Leave them. We don't want to be seen riding a horse wearing an army brand. Let's get back to camp and get on Jensen's trail. Quickly, men! Move!
When the last man had splashed across the creek, Smoke rolled out of his hiding place and limped to the death camp. He quickly checked the bodies. They were all dead.
Damn.
Smoke tied a bandana around the wound on his leg and then grabbed as much of the scattered equipment as he dared take the time to do. Then, gritting his teeth against the pain, he limped as quickly as he could to his horses. 10 minutes later, he was in the saddle and gone, staying off the trail and weaving through the timber, heading for the high country. He would heat a knife point and dig the lead out later. Right now, he had to put some distance between himself and the death camp.
God damn it!
Von Hausen looked at the ropes laying on the ground.
They've escaped. I thought you said the men were tied securely.
They was. I checked them personal. They was trussed up like pigs.
John T., assign men to track down and kill Walt and Angel. Get in the saddle, men. We've got to get on Jensen's trail.
Marlene smiled. She had seen through Von Hausen's plan. The men couldn't back off now. They had to kill Jensen if it meant dying to the last person. They would all to a man hang if caught for the killing of troops. She trembled with excitement. There was no thrill on earth like that of killing a man. Nothing compared to it. Nothing. She wondered how it would feel to slip the noose around Smoke Jensen's neck. Smoke rode hard for several miles, then stopped to let his horses blow. He quickly built a small fire, ripped his jeans around the bullet wound, and took a look at it. The slug had lost some of its power when it struck the leg, but still had enough punch to tear a hole. He felt all around the wound and could feel the slug buried just beneath the skin. He took the hot, sterilized blade and slipped the point under the skin, digging around and popping the slug out, his face dripping with sweat from the cauterization of the wound. That would have to do it. If the wound felt infected by morning, he'd cut it open, pour gunpowder in, and burn out the infection. He had done that before, and he was not looking forward to a repeat performance. It wasn't pleasant, but it worked. He swung back into the saddle and headed out. He was going to the temporary headquarters of the park superintendent. Von Hausen and his people could not afford to let anyone live. For their plans to succeed, anyone who knew they were in the park had to die. And Smoke was sure that by now, the surveyors, the scientists, the superintendent and his staff all knew about Von Hausen. They had to be warned.
You know where the home of the man who runs this place is located?
North, up near the Montana line. And Von Hausen knows it, too.
I heard them talking, too, my friend.
Angel and Walt had stopped to rest their horses and to make plans.
We for sure got men coming after us, Angel. He can't afford to have us get free and bump our gums.
We'll ride on until we find just the right spot. Then we will take some of the pressure off of Mr. Smoke Jensen. See, amigo?
Right, my friend.
We gotta be careful with old Walt and Angel. That old man's a pistolero from way back.
He ain't nothing, John. I used to think he was, till he started taking Jensen's side in this. He's just a wore-out old man is all he is.
Yeah, and an old rat will kill you just as quick as a young one. And Angel ain't no one to fool with neither.
He's just a damn greaser is all, full of beans and hot air. I'll take him.
He ain't making no effort to hide his tracks. And he's heading straight north.
To the park headquarters. And if he reaches there...
It won't make any difference. We can leave no one behind. No one! Man, woman, or child who knows we were in the park. It has to be that way. We'll all hang if word gets out about the soldiers. Do it my way, and you'll all be rich men. I promise you that.
Von Hausen looked up at the leaden sky.
What's wrong with this wretched place? It's supposed to be summer, but the temperature seems to be falling. And those clouds look like snow clouds.
They probably are. This is Yellowstone, Baron. Hell, it's liable to snow in July.
But the vegetation is out and blooming.
It ain't going to freeze hard enough to kill this stuff. It's liable to be 75 degrees tomorrow. Let's go find Jensen today and finish this.
Smoke kept going, not pushing his horses as hard as the days behind him, but at a steady mile-eating pace. He smelled the wood smoke before he could see it through the snowfall. Smoke dismounted and slipped through the foliage, strange now and green and white. He pulled up short with a smile on his lips. Then he went back to get his horses.
Hello, the camp.
Mr. Jensen, my word, didn't the army find you?
No, I found them.
Smoke was glad as hell to see that party of scientists. He walked into camp, warmed his hands by the fire, and explained what had happened.
All dead. The patrol has been murdered.
Yes. Where's the superintendent?
Gone to Washington for a few weeks. Oh, my God, you've hurt yourself.
He shot me. It's all right. I dug the bullet out and cauterized the wound. Just keep the bandana on and hold a bandage in place.
Please go over to the lean-to and sit down, Mr. Jensen. Among other things, I am a trained nurse. Gilbert, get the first aid kit and take off your pants, Mr. Jensen.
I got some extra jeans, ma'am. I'll just open the tear in this and let you...
Take off your damn pants!
Yes, ma'am.
Well, Smoke shucked out of his moccasins and jeans behind the blanket someone had rigged up for privacy.
I can see no sign of infection.
Paula applied some sort of medicine on the healing wound and rebandaged it.
But that knife must have been awfully hot. There are burn scars all around the entry point.
Very hot, ma'am. But it still beats filling it up with gunpowder and burning out the infection.
I wish people would stop that practice. Gunpowder is not the most sanitary substance around.
But it works.
Smoke gathered the group around him in the rapidly diminishing snowfall. It had dusted the land, but it would be gone shortly after sunup.
We got problems, people. Big problems. Alone, I could shake those behind me and get out and tell the law about what happened to the Army Patrol. But if I do that, you people will die. Van Housen and his scummy bunch have to kill anybody that knows they were in the park. And that's all of you.
But the superintendent knows.
His word against 25. Actually, Van Housen is playing a fool's game. I'm the only one who any defense lawyer would probably allow on the stand. You people have never seen him in here. But Van Housen and those with him are scared. They're not thinking rationally. So that means you're all in danger. Now, I don't know whether Van Housen is still coming at me through this snow or not. I guess not. But they will be at first light, bet on it. And they're only about 6 or 7 hours behind. We've got to come up with a plan for staying alive. And we don't have much time to do it.
Run for it. We're not fighters, Mr. Jensen. None of us have ever fired a shot in anger at anything. None of us have combat experience. But if you say we stand and fight, we will.
No, Gilbert. You people have to get out. I've got to buy you some time to get clear and get to the army. Are there any troops still in the park?
Not about half a dozen up at White Mountain. But the army engineers, I don't even know whether they have guns.
They're armed. There are still hostiles in the area. I want you people up and ready to go at first light. Head for White Mountain. Connect with the army. And get hell gone for the nearest town that has wires. Get a telegram off to Washington. And let them know what's happened here. And what is happening.
Where will you make your stand?
Up the trail somewhere. I'll know it when I see it.
Their horses is getting tired.
Mac looked down at the tracks left by Walt and Angel.
And them tracks is fresh. We're closing in, boys.
I want old Walt. I want that old bastard looking at me when I drop him.
This ain't gonna be no stand up and draw thing, Lou. Our orders is to kill them both the best and quickest way we can.
Hell with orders. I want to see what kind of stuff that old coot has.
You do that, and he just might be the one standing over you when it's done.
No way, Mac. No way. We got about an hour of daylight left. Let's go.
Come up lame.
Walt stripped the saddle and bridle from his horse and patted it on the rump.
I felt it when he hurt himself back yonder on them rocks. Build a fire, Angel. Let's have us some coffee and bacon. I expect them that's dogging us will be along right shortly. I'll have me another horse right after dark.
Angel grinned and began gathering up firewood, while Walt rigged a shelter half for him in the timber. Walt had strapped on his guns and tied him down. He spun the cylinders, checking the loads. Angel knew Walt had given up gunfighting simply because he was tired of the killing, tired of the blood, tired of having to prove himself against every two-bit punk that came along. But he was still snake-quick and a dead shot, and now he was ready to go again. Walt Webster was a living legend, not in Smoke's class, but close, real damn close.
Luke Kennedy was always bragging about how he could take you any day, Walt.
Yeah, he's a loudmouth tinhorn, old bluster, no brains.
What will you do if he calls you out?
Walk out and shoot him dead.
I will have a rifle on the other, should that be the way it happens.
Obliged. Here they come.
Here's a trap.
Mac spotted the fire in the small camp.
One of the horses came up lame back yonder, and they're sitting up there waiting on us to ride in.
Walt Webster! This is Lou Kennedy. Can you hear me, Walt?
What the hell do you want?
You and me, Walt. How about it?
With that scum with you backing you up, Lou?
No, just me and you, Walt.
Damn it, Lou, back off now, you hear?
No way, Mac. I want him. If I gun Walt Webster down, I can write my own ticket. You know that.
Then go on. Walt! Walt Webster! This is Mac. You can have him, Walt. I give you my word. I won't interfere. You got my word on it.
How about the others with you?
Walt! This Leo Grant! We're out of it, Walt! Me and Nat'll stand clear! and that'll be as good as gold, Walt. If you drop him, you can get on back to cover.
Let's get it done, Lou. Draw whenever you feel lucky, boy.
Leo looked at Lou with disgust in his eyes.
You fool! Did you ever stop to think that that old man just might get lucky and blow a hole in you?
He ain't even got a clear leather. Start counting that.
Both men stepped out of the timber. Walt stayed close to the timber, forcing Lou to come to him.
How's it feel, Lou?
How's what feel, you old fart?
Knowing you're about to die.
Lou stopped about 20 feet from Walt.
You got any relatives you want me to notify, you old fart?
When did you learn to write, you ignorant whelp?
Draw!
After you, boy.
Drag iron, damn you!
Go ahead!
You're yeller, Walt! You're scared of me, ain't you?
Walt stepped back into the timber.
You want to come to get him, boys? Come on! We'll not fire on you.
Appreciate it, Walt.
Mac looked at the body of his former friend Lou, and he suddenly realized that none of them were going to kill Walt. None of them were going to come out of this rich. None of them were going to come out of this with anything at all, except dead. He looked down into the wide open and shuddered, seeing nothing but the eyes of Lou Kennedy.